Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We're going to be focusing on the precious metals as we are chatting with Craig Hemke. Again, gold down just over $70 today, right around 3%. Silver down a little bit more than $1.50, about 5.5%. But still, you look at the underlying numbers here of gold at still over $2,300, silver above $27. Still some strong prices from what we were seeing in the last couple of years especially. And for gold, still hanging up at these pretty much all-time highs, minus the pullback that we're seeing today. Craig Hemke is the founder and editor of tfmetalsreport.com, which we will link to below. Craig, very simple question in terms of today's pullback. Is it geopolitics, a bit of a calming down in the Middle East, or is this just maybe the start of a what would be, could be, natural pullback for the precious metals, considering how fast they have moved in about 2 months?
Well, hi, guys. I think it's probably a lot of that, Corey. You know, we probably started to see this last week, right? We had the ramp up from beyond 2300 to 2400 was, I think, in large part kind of safe haven buying, if you will, on the Middle East concerns. And you had that spike back on Friday the 12th up above 2400 that then, you know, everybody was worried about the weekend. Then all of a sudden you had this massive plunge when gold went down 4% or something in 4 hours. It was pretty gnarly. And then you had that, you know, we saw the initial Israeli action the following weekend, and then everybody kind of last Monday thought, okay, is that it? And then that all ramped up again into Thursday. We got another spike over 2,400 when the Israelis, whatever they did, retaliated, whatever you want to call it, and then came back down. Then I think there was some concern on Friday that maybe the Israelis weren't done. And so where that could have started coming out, that safe haven, whatever, cushion, cash, whatever it was, that could have started coming out Friday. But I think people were still kind of worried that maybe that was just like a initial attack by the Israelis. So anyway, when nothing else came over the weekend, you've got this rush of spec money coming back out, heading back down to 2,300. You've got margin hikes on COMEX, but also in Shanghai. So you've got this kind of spec money running back out, heading for the exits all at once. I would point that today the dollar index is actually down a little bit and interest rates are flat. So it's not like, you know, this is something where, you know, it's just, you know, some huge rally in the dollar or something sparking computer selling. This just looks to be like kind of a speculative flush. We'll see what open interest changes develop overnight as well. But I will add this. I mean, I think we talked about it last week. I've actually made a tiny little profit trading options in the COMEX casino since the 1st of April. But even I got completely out and flat by about midweek last week. And I told people on my site, there's a seasonality to this. And what I mean by that is, the May contract of COMEX Silver is the front month. The options will price and expire this coming Thursday. The May contract will go off the board into delivery, next Monday. And the seasonality of it is that's usually, you know, in the run-up to those options expiration and the contract expiring, price usually comes under pressure. So there's that factoring into it too. But we'll look for some support here pretty soon, probably near 27 and near 2300, and then we'll see what happens next.
Well, Craig, as we look at these markets every week with you, sometimes we have a tendency to get so myopic and so focused on the little term zigs and zags that sometimes it's nice just to pan back and just remind people, you know, November of last year was the highest monthly close on record. Then December was the highest monthly close on record, highest quarterly close on record, highest annual close on record. Then starting this year, we've had several times where we had the highest monthly, the highest weekly, the highest daily. So isn't a pullback of $75 in the overall scheme of a market breaking out from a 13-year base small potatoes?
Oh, no doubt. And, you know, we even discussed, remember we talked about the superfecta, whatever that was, 3 weeks ago? And that's far more important. The long-term trend is clearly higher. And that will, what it basically does, it helps people, the bigger money, institutional money, kind of buy the dips. I'll give you another thing that the three of us have discussed ad nauseum. Bull markets in this pricing scheme of where we have the futures contracts that determine the price. Bull markets in this pricing scheme are defined by a two-step forward, one-step back pattern. The electric slide, the shuffle, whatever you want to call it. It's how it works. You get this rush of building momentum and latecomers jumping on board. Oh, boy, to the moon. And then it rolls over. Momentum runs out. You get a big red candle like you got today. And it flushes, you know, half of that position back out. And all the latecomers end up losing money, you know, because they bought last week at 2380 and now margins are higher and they're sitting here at 2830 or 2320. I should say 2380 and 2320 going, oh, I got, get me out. And so they get all flushed back out. Price finds a base, starts heading higher again. And then you get into this top of the wave again where everybody comes rushing back in, hopefully at a higher high. So big picture, that is still the pattern. Two steps forward, one step back, and we're just in the process of one step back.
So true, Craig. And again, we don't know how far back this one step will be, but it's made such a strong move that any sort of correction here could very well just be a higher low. So again, it looks like a big number on just a daily basis, but look at that chart, just how fast these metals have run in the last couple months. Going down to the stocks, though, what have you seen? Because it does seem like we're still broadly trading amongst ourselves. We've seen a bit of an uptick in the volumes in the ETFs that follow the larger stocks. But again, you consider the gold's at all-time highs. There aren't many gold stocks out there at all-time highs.
Well, that's for sure. I you know, and I think that's what's so frustrating to so many of us. You know, I mean, I on my side, been talking about acquiring and holding personally physical precious metal in preparation for what we call the end of the Great Keynesian experiment. We've been talking about this since 2010. You know, the thing that drives everybody crazy is these freaking mining stocks, right? Because you sit there and scratch your head. It's like, remember we were talking about Newmont a couple of months ago and Barrick? Well, you go back 20 years, the price of gold is five, now even six times higher than it was 20 years ago. But yet Newmont's exact same price that it was in 2004. And you think, why do I even, you know, invest in some of these things if that's how it works? And you can look at it now. I mean, you look at some of these exploration companies that have these great properties and they got all these great drill results and you get all excited. You think, wow, this is really going to be great when price starts moving up. And then gold goes from $1,800 to $2,400 in 6 months and nothing happens. And it makes you wonder, you know, what was it going to take, another $600? Maybe, but what happens if gold now goes back to 2200 or something or 2100? So it's all very frustrating. It takes very nimble trading if you're going to profit at all in the mining shares, and no doubt about that. And boy, what you guys do and what some of the really fantastic newsletter writers do that study the sector is they at least can help you kind of refine your search a little bit. And not just get a basket of things, but, you know, maybe be more targeted into ones that have the better prospect. Because there are some that are doing quite well. And if you're in those primarily, then you're doing quite well too. But boy, if you just broad-based or if you just buy the one that your stockbroker tells you to buy, you're probably frustrated like all the rest of us.
Yeah, Craig, you said it's definitely a rifle approach instead of a shotgun approach right now. It has not been a rising tide lifting all boats, even though we have seen some life in the sector. But I guess we can circle back around to something. Maybe it's beating a dead horse, but it's worth bringing up. Every time we talk about the gold stocks not really matching the gold price, we have to remind people that gold stocks and silver stocks tend to track silver more, not gold. So while gold is doing great, it gets a safe haven bid. It's a monetary metal. That's not the same thing. Central banks don't buy gold stocks, and they don't buy silver stocks, and they don't buy silver. But silver is really what tracks the equity. So how are you looking at silver right now?
Well, and that becomes the question of the hour, I guess, Shad, is what happens to silver here? You know, I mentioned gold going back to 2300 and testing support. The 20-day moving average is there. The 50-day is down even further. But in an uptrend, that might be where you'd look for price to kind of bottom near 2300. That had been resistance. And so now you would expect it, once it blasted through there, find support there. Well, now that's the same thing for silver, you know. I mean, we've talked for a couple of years now about, hey, silver looks great. Well, if it ever get above 30, we'll really be cooking, but it's got to get above 28 before it get above 30. It's got to get at least above 26. So it finally has at least seemed to establish, you know, a pretty good toll above 26 or 10% even beyond 26. So 26 now becomes a pretty important support level. If we can hold there and then start moving higher again, then that's, you know, then we got a shot at 30 later this year or, you know, early next or something like that. And then by extension, that's when the shares would pick up just through, algorithm, HFT type buying. Okay, so what's going to get silver to hang in there, not just go back to 22? As we've discussed again on other times in the past, keep an eye on copper. Copper could be the key to this whole thing, just because there are, again, to me, maybe it's anecdotal, but I observe algorithms that kind of lynch the two together. And if copper is moving up, well, then maybe we ought to go buy some silver as well. And so with copper now, what is it? $9,000 a ton, you know, $450 a pound, moving up strongly. In fact, it's barely even down today with silver down 5-6%. Moving, through 450, looking like it wants to go to 480. A lot of people talking about, you know, 10,000 a ton, 12,000 a ton, which is $6 a pound. If that were to take place, then it's kind of like talking about the gold-silver ratio. You know, gold going to 2,500, you know, the gold-silver ratio doesn't go to 100, meaning that silver is going to stay at 25. Silver's going to go up just because it's going to kind of tag along with gold. Silver's going to go up if copper goes up too. So tying that all back together, Shad, in a long answer, we can get the mining shares to go up if silver can start trading in the 30s and catch, you know, some serious momentum at some point. And that might happen if you can get copper to keep going. That's just the world we live in, you know, in this computer dominated world in 2024.
So if we're looking at copper too, then Craig, do we need to see on a macro environment continued strong economics? Do we need to see a rollover in the markets? Do we need to see interest rates move higher or lower? Balancing out what we could see economic data wise and market wise, what do we need to see where silver and copper move up together and that brings up these stocks?
Well, you know, that's always the big question, right? Because again, we're in this system where sometimes, most of the time, real physical demand and supply levels don't really matter too much to the physical or the supply and the demand of the derivative trading, right? But copper has had this, you know, and again, it's kind of a hard thing to grasp because I've been talking about this for a year and a half. We were seeing at the end of 2022, people, Goldman Sachs, saying that above ground copper stocks would be depleted by August of last year. And well, obviously that never happened, right? They somehow found more copper. But now I'm seeing those kind of calls again. You know, you get Robert Friedland, you know, the guy that started Ivanhoe Mines, man, he's on Twitter every day talking about physical copper stockpiles being depleted. Now, is that due to surging economic demand around the world? Is that because there's so much derivatives in China based on a limited amount of copper supply that they're onshoring copper? I mean, what I'm getting at is I don't know, because this is a very complex question. I will just state, though, I mean, maybe it's a falling dollar. I should say that before. I will just say, I mean, what if the dollar index double tops at 107 and starts falling back? Well, that's going to drive a bid for copper as well. So you put all those things together. If it does materialize, you know, and some of these calls you've seen from some of these banks, you know, of copper going to $5 a pound or $6 a pound, I just have a really hard time believing that that wouldn't drag silver along with it. Now, under what circumstances it gets to five or six, economic growth, global economic growth, you know, or just as dwindling above ground supplies, I don't know. But if it happens, it's going to be beneficial for silver. Has to be.
Well, Greg, tying into this topic, if you look at some of the other base metals along with copper, which has been breaking out lately, zinc's at the highest level it's been since last year at this time. Now, it's not breaking any records, but it's been on an uptrend. Aluminum is at the highest level it's been since January of last year. So same thing, it's been in an uptrend. If you look at cocoa prices, holy cow, they went astronomical for chocolate. And some of the other soft commodities are starting to pick up. Is it possible that as the equity markets roll over, we're just seeing more investors focused in the commodity sector once again and turning to hard assets?
Yes, Shad, that I agree with that. But I'd also just kind of double back to what Corey was asking. Don't sleep on that headline from a week ago about the U.S. and the U.K. swearing off imports of Russian copper and aluminum and was it tin? Or a number of them. Russia is the number one supplier to the LME, the London Metals Exchange, for all of those metals. And if they're now saying we're not going to accept Russian, well, they're going to have to find that metal from somewhere because that metal gets delivered there and has to flow through there. And so that's kind of hanging out there too, that at least in the short term, for maybe intermediate term. You've got this maybe worsening shortage or tightness, maybe is a better word. So, yeah, it's not just a copper issue when it comes to base metals, as you said, Shad. And again, all of these things tie together. And that's why, you know, I don't want to sound Pollyanna and say, oh, no, you know, to the moon and, you know, buy all the dips and all that kind of stuff. As we began, I said, it's always two steps forward, one step back. This week, we're fighting option expiration. There are always games played around that. We got the May silver contract on the COMEX going off the board next week. There are always games played around that with, you know, massive liquidations that appear out of the blue. Once we get, let's get into about the middle part of next week and see where we are. Because we'll be in the next Fed meeting is next Wednesday, May the 1st. The next jobs report is Friday, May the 3rd. Let's get into that next Fed, but, you know, give it 5 or 6 trading days here. And let this all kind of consolidate and wiggle around and base and all that kind of stuff. And then maybe we can start talking about our next move higher. Because I still feel that things, you know, the show is just starting to get on the road here.
Yeah, that's the thing, especially on a day like today, right? You just have to wait to see how it all plays out and see where this correction goes to, right? Cooler heads need to prevail if people are worried about what's happening just simply today for the precious metals. But hey, we always focus on the stocks too, right? And make sure that these companies are cashed up and that they're doing the type of work that you want to see them do. Because while there has been a little bit of rising tide that lifted some stocks, man, these stocks were so washed out that it hasn't done much, I think, to get even people back to even on a lot of their investments. But hey, Craig, a lot of interesting comments, even on the base metals front there as well. There's a bit more interest coming into the commodities sector, and it very well could be early stage. Craig, thank you as always for your time. We'll post a link to your tfmetalsreport.com, and we will chat again next week. I hope you have a great rest of your week there, Craig.
You guys do the same. We'll talk to you next week.